From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The presidency of Donald Trump has been a boon to the private prison industry, which has eagerly taken on the task of maintaining and building prison-like facilities to hold immigrant detainees. Detention rates of undocumented immigrants increased under President Obama, but has spiked even more sharply in the first year of Trump's tenure. Now, a new story in Reveal, which is a publication of the Center for Investigative Reporting, digs deep into one detention facility in New Mexico that started out as a federal prison called the Cibola County Correctional Center, but has now been turned into an ICE detention facility. That facility is run by the private prison company CoreCivic, formerly known as Corrections Corporation of America. My guest is Sarah McArig. She is an award-winning journalist who has been published in numerous outlets, including The Guardian, Vice, and Yes Magazine. And her recent investigative piece for Reveal is entitled Inside a Private Prison's $150 Million Deal to Detain Immigrants in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So before we get to exactly what it is that CoreCivic does, let's just talk about the facility in question, the Cibola County Correctional Facility. Before it became an ICE detention center, was a federal prison. Was it run by the same company that is now CoreCivic and has just now basically been handled by that same company to house immigrants?
That's true. And all of that changeover happened really without pause, I learned in the course of my investigation. It certainly seemed that there was a pause and that there was an important change that happened. And I want to say from the get-go, you know, part of that important change coming about in terms of the Bureau of Prisons, you know, being compelled to back out of that contract also goes back to some really great investigative reporting that my colleague Seth Fried Wessler did for the Nation Institute. And to back up to that and to answer your question, you know, what had happened a few months after Seth put out his reporting, which detailed deaths in custody at private federal prisons across the country that were specifically holding immigrants. He detailed a number of deaths in custody at a few different facilities. He looked at CoreCivic's competitor Geo Group, and he looked at CoreCivic itself. He did a number of pieces, and you know, a lot of his work led him to focusing on this facility because it had so many demerits by Bureau of Prison monitors for, you know, substandard care, and there had been deaths at that facility. So my colleague's reporting really dug that up. A few months later, the Department of Justice, in the last few months of the Obama administration, announced that generally speaking, they were going to be phasing out, you know, their use of private prisons.
Right. I remember what a big deal that was. It was even though privately run prisons in the federal system are a small percentage of the overall prison systems, it was a big victory for people who had been pointing out that privately run prisons are very just lack accountability. But now, of course, under Trump, not that much has changed. It's just the classification seems to be different.
Well, and Sessions has actually very concretely said that he's reversing that.
That's right. So even the private prison phase out on the federal government has been reversed by Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
But you know what I wanted to pick up on, you know, when I came to New Mexico to dive into criminal justice issues, and I also see immigration enforcement as a part of that. What I wanted to dig into is the fact that, you know, what it looked like had happened. There was a scandal that was revealed. A few months later, the contract between the federal government and CoreCivic was prematurely ended. That was a really big deal. A couple months after that, the Department of Justice said, we're going to phase out, you know, our use of private prisons altogether. And then everyone was shocked, you know, just a couple more months after that, when it was announced that the local county, CoreCivic, and ICE had entered a new deal. And what I had learned in the course of my reporting is that, you know, all of that sort of started unfolding pretty much right away once the Federal Bureau of Prisons backed out. And then I dug deep into what exactly that deal is. It's important to me locally because of, I mean, aside from all of sort of local politics, I could talk a lot about being here in a majority minority state and in a border state and all of that. I could dive deep into that, but just simply the fact of oversight, that was important to me in terms of understanding what exactly the terms were of the deal. But the other thing that I want to say, if we're turning it back over to you, is just that deals like this are springing up all over the place. They happen in different ways and at different levels, county, municipal, state, but they're springing up all over the place.
So essentially with the Cibola County Correctional Facility, you point out in your piece that that ICE pays the county, which keeps a very, very tiny percentage of the money that it gets and turns over a huge chunk of it to Core Civic to continue running this facility as an immigrant detention center. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's absolutely accurate. And when we say ICE pays them, what we're saying is federal funds.
Yeah, federal American funds. Tax federal dollars. Funds. Yeah.
Yeah, federal funds flow, into the municipal government. Federal funds flow from our government to a private prison company that's valued at $3.7, billion dollars.
And this is a $150 million deal that you point out over 5 years. Let's humanize the story as you do in your piece. You start out telling us the story of one person who got caught in the federal government's immigrant dragnet, Diego Navarro, and spent a number of weeks at the immigrant detention facility run by Core Civic in New Mexico. Who is Diego Navarro? What is his story, and how does it expose what's going on in this facility?
I'm really glad that you asked that. I feel fortunate to have been able to speak with Diego. One in that that's only possible because he's one of the lucky few people who have actually gotten out on immigration bond. The gist of his story is that he was actually driving through New Mexico, and he was, a couple dozen miles outside of Albuquerque, which is officially, an immigrant-friendly city, which is akin to being a sanctuary city. It sits in a county that has also affirmed an immigrant-friendly status. He had just stopped to get gas. He went into the bathroom right away. He came out of the bathroom. He was immediately surrounded by ICE agents. In his court documents, which were later, which were later the documents that a federal judge used to grant him bond. But in his documents, one of the things that's detailed is racial profiling, our racist comments. But what I wanted to get into with my story with Diego, and what Diego really wanted to be able to share with people, is just the quandary of the system. He ended up locked up. That he's out. He was a pretrial detainee, like many of other people held in immigrant detention.
So meaning he's just waiting to basically have his due process.
Exactly. And also immigration charges, unless you get to reentry, which has only recently become a criminal charge. Unauthorized entry is a civil charge.
Right.
So these are largely pretrial detainees on civil, not criminal charges. The people inside are also people who presented themselves at the border seeking asylum, claiming fear for living in their home countries. And in Cibola, what I saw were many of the people who have already been deported are being deported to Guatemala and Honduras, which are incredibly violent countries at the moment. But in any case, Diego, I think Diego's experience may seem mild in some ways, and yet it's so important. Diego's one of the lucky few people. He's out on bond just by virtue of that, he does have someone who's a legal permanent resident to sponsor him. And there's many things, he speaks a little bit of English. So when he was just dumped 3 miles down the road by drivers for the facility after getting out on bond, he was able to make his way back home. And that is actually what compelled him to share his story with me. I think maybe one of the things Your listeners, I think, could appreciate the context for is that we do sort of, we do hear when we think about social justice issues, we hear people talk about having a responsibility to make good on any position of relative privilege they may have. And I was honored to be able to speak with someone who even is very, very vulnerable in removal proceedings right now, but because of what he'd seen inside, because of what he'd experienced, because of the way he was arrested, he felt that for the people still inside, he needed to share his story.
This is a young man who, you point out, works 10 to 14-hour days in the petroleum industry. Just extremely hardworking, not here to. He doesn't have an easy life here. Let's just put it that way. There's so much misinformation about what immigrants do here in the United States. So now, in terms of the, let's look broadly at CoreCivic itself. This is a private prison company like Geo Group that is doing very well financially because of the government's increased and renewed enforcement on immigration. How well is it expected to do? Is it projecting a big expansion? Is it expecting to get even more federal government contracts? And it doesn't even competitively bid for these contracts, right?
It's a very good question, and that's a very timely question. For anyone who wants to keep careful track of that, CoreCivic today, at the end of the day, they'll actually be releasing their third quarter earnings report. It might sound really, really boring, but the thing is, there is a narrative in those documents where they talk about business initiatives that are unfolding, where they talk about where they see new business potentially developing. And then just to say on top of that, if anybody really, if constituents really want to stay on top of that, if other reporters do as well, you can Google, an investor call that's going to take place tomorrow morning, and you can dial in and listen. And the reason why that connects to your question, and there's a lot of nuances to that question, but a major development that, a person could read between the lines pretty clearly in their last round of statements had to do with the ramp up in interior enforcement, and that being a potential, new business opportunity. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is actually that arrests generally are up. Deportations are actually down a bit. What does that mean? Hmm. That means that people are being detained longer.
Right. So they're arresting more people, putting them in these prisons, not necessarily ramping up the deportation, because the longer they stay in these detention facilities, which are like prisons, the more money CoreCivic makes, right?
Well, the immigration system, when they're getting paid per bed, there's certainly a profit motive there. I'll also say that our immigration, system is chaotic, and it's a mess, and it's backlogged. And that raises questions about due process as well and length of detention. But what I want to say too is that, I think after Trump took office, I think it was very apparent a ramp up in raids and, by ICE. And those are taking places in the interior of the country, at a marked increase. So it used to be that there were a lot of arrests at the border. Now there's a lot of arrests in the interior of the country.
Right.
And so part of what CoreCivic is saying as a result of that, and part of what I want to put on people's radar, is that new facilities in places that, people don't necessarily expect them to happen. There was an announcement about a week or so ago that, ICE is looking to have facilities, at least four facilities near major cities. Chicago is one of them. Chicago is a sanctuary city, right? So they're saying outside of it. But so I just think that, to your question about how the profits will be increasing, what business is like, it also has to do with the question of what is going to be happening in people's communities. What are the responsibilities of their local politicians? What is it that we know about what conditions are like, and how do people feel about that in their backyard?
Now, the particular case that you talk about in your article, how difficult was it for you to obtain information? I'm wondering how secretive all of these dealings are in terms of our tax dollars being funneled into the coffers of private prison companies like CoreCivic. Did you have to work hard to get the details? I mean, or are they public?
I had to work very hard for the details, and I'm happy to share a pro tip right here and right now for anyone else, who wants to try to get their hands on similar documents. And also, again, share a reminder that concerned constituents can do this, have every right to file FOIAs just as much as journalists do. And also, by the way, if you're a local politician who feels a responsibility to understand, what is unfolding, in terms of the economics of your state, you probably have subpoena powers and should look at the same documents. But to cut to the chase, I could have tried to get these documents at the federal level. That is where there's been a huge there's been major litigation around that. It's been a major battle to try to get contracts between the federal government and the private prison corporations. But the thing is, I requested it at the county level because the county is a player. So I use my local FOIA law to ask the local county for federal documents that are also county documents. And as a result of that, I got an agreement between the county and ICE, and I got an agreement between the county and CoreCivic, and I got invoices. I also, as a part of those invoices, what CoreCivic has to show in those invoices, they have to show what they're invoicing for. So what came bundled right up with those invoices were prisoner counts, where I got a sense of how many people were there, and also transport logs. Some of those transport logs are just people being shuttled around back and forth between facilities, people being flown to this particular facility from other states, but also wrapped up in that were deportations.
So, and as you mentioned, very, very complicated immigration system. Some people finding out that they're being deported after a judge's video conference in to make decisions, as you show in your article. Absolutely chaotic system in the country right now in immigration. I want to thank you so much for shedding light on this very important aspect of it, Sarah. Is Reveal News the best place for people to find your article?
Yeah, that's the best place for people to find it.
That's revealnews.org, and we'll post a link directly to that from our website. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sanaa.
Sarah McCarraig is an award-winning journalist. She's been published in numerous outlets, including The Guardian, Vice, and Yes Magazine. We've been discussing her new investigative piece for Reveal. It's called Inside a Private Prison's $150 Million Deal to Detain Immigrants in New Mexico. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.